Wealthy preppers are the billionaires, founders, and financiers who have quietly turned preparedness into private infrastructure. They spend fortunes on underground shelters, remote compounds, private islands, and foreign passports, so that a disaster most people would simply have to endure becomes, for them, a plan they already paid for. The scale is staggering, but the instinct underneath it is one every prepper recognizes. You are almost certainly not building tunnels under 1,000 acres, and you do not need to be. The distance between a hedge fund manager with a berth in New Zealand and a family with a full pantry is money and the stage they have reached, not the instinct itself. Both are answering the same quiet question about what happens when the systems we lean on stop working. The rich just have the means to answer it loudly. Start by seeing clearly what the ultra-wealthy are actually preparing against, because their fears turn out to be surprisingly ordinary. Once you understand the threats driving the most expensive prepping on Earth, the practical version of that same plan, scaled to a normal budget, gets much easier to build. The rise of wealthy preppers. Prepping was once pictured as the domain of rural families and weekend survivalists, but the wealthy preppers making headlines now are a different crowd. Reid Hoffman, the co-founder of LinkedIn, has estimated that more than half of Silicon Valley's billionaires hold some form of apocalypse insurance. When the people with the most to lose and the best information money can buy start quietly building exits, it is worth understanding what they see coming. The trend was already building, and then 2020 poured fuel on it. The pandemic turned an abstract health-related threat into a shared reality and showed us how fast the shelves can get emptied. For people with the means to never be caught short again, that was all the argument they needed. Demand for luxury shelters jumped, the market for second passports and residency by investment programs swelled, and quiet land purchases in remote corners of the world picked up pace. Firms that build private bunkers, from converted missile silos finished like boutique hotels to hardened compounds with their own power and water, found themselves with waiting lists. The result is an industry most people never see. Companies now sell hardened berths inside decommissioned missile silos, finished like boutique hotels with pools, theaters, and hydroponic gardens buried hundreds of feet underground, and the units sell out before the concrete has cured. Others buy quietly into remote countries, with New Zealand in particular becoming the destination of choice for those who want an entire ocean between themselves and trouble. Residency by investment programs, sometimes called golden visas, put a second passport within reach of anyone who can wire the fee, and for the very rich that has quietly become a standard line item in the plan. What all that money is preparing against is not one catastrophe but a whole menu of them, and the menu looks familiar to any prepper. Behind the fear of another pandemic sits the larger fear of a systems failure that takes down the grid, the banks, or the supply chain at once. The slow-motion version of that, economic distress, needs no imagination at all, and it is the dread that runs quietly through a film like Leave the World Behind, where a comfortable family watches the systems around them switch off one at a time. The list runs longer from there. There is the fear of civil unrest and open acts of violence once the safety nets tear. There are the low odds, high consequence cosmic threats that Hollywood loves, the comet bearing down in Deep Impact and the willful denial of it in Don't Look Up. There is Elon Musk's particular worry about artificial intelligence slipping its leash, and the older shadow of war and the nuclear risk behind it. The rich cannot unsee their own place in that story. It is written into the movies they help finance, the orbital refuge of the wealthy hovering above a ruined planet in Elysium, the survivors of Snowpiercer sorted by class on the last train, the families in Greenland who learned too late that the shelters were only ever built for a chosen few. For most people, normalcy bias files all of this under things that happen to other people. The defining trait of the wealthy prepper is simply the refusal to file it there, inside the billionaire playbook. The ultra-wealthy prepare at a scale the rest of us can only picture in a movie, but the moves themselves are recognizable. Strip away the budget and you are left with the same four instincts every prepper acts on: shelter, supplies, an exit, and the skills or staff to hold it all together. It is easier to see in the people than in the abstract, so consider how a few of the most public billionaire preppers have played it. Bill Gates. Bill Gates is the one who chose to warn everyone else. In a 2015 TED Talk, he argued that the world was badly unready for the next outbreak, and that a highly infectious virus was a far likelier mass killer in the coming decades than any war. He backs the warning with money, funding vaccine work and disease surveillance rather than a personal escape route, and he has invested in unglamorous resilience like sanitation technology that can turn sewage back into drinking water. Gates shows that at the top of the wealth curve, preparedness can point outward, spending on the problem itself instead of only on a way out of it. Sam Altman. Sam Altman, the head of OpenAI, keeps a kit that would look at home in any serious prepper's plan, only larger. He once described it plainly: I have guns, gold, potassium iodide, antibiotics, batteries, water, gas masks from the Israeli Defense Force, and a big patch of land in Big Sur I can fly to. The potassium iodide and gas masks are the tell, the exact gear a prepared household lays in against a nuclear or radiological event. Altman's list is proof that the billionaire kit is not exotic. It is the ordinary kit with a private plane attached to the end of it. Peter Thiel and Steve Huffman. Some buy an exit instead of a shelter. Peter Thiel quietly obtained New Zealand citizenship and a country estate there, turning the remote nation into shorthand for the billionaire escape hatch and helping launch a quiet rush of foreign passport buying among his peers. Steve Huffman, the chief executive of Reddit, went the other way and hardened where he already lives, telling the same reporting that he had gotten laser eye surgery to improve his odds after a collapse and had bought motorcycles, guns, and ammunition to defend his home. Between the two of them sit the two oldest choices in preparedness: bug out to safer ground or dig in and defend the ground you already hold. Elon Musk. Elon Musk prepares on a planetary scale. He has called artificial intelligence humanity's biggest existential threat, warning that building it is like summoning a demon, and his answer is a backup for the species itself. SpaceX exists, in his telling, so that humanity has somewhere to go before the worst happens here, and the Tesla Cybertruck was pitched as a survival vehicle for the version of trouble that stays on the ground. Musk is the reminder that a prepper's shelter can be as large as a rocket program, and that the same person can build the danger and the lifeboat at once. Mark Zuckerberg. The most talked about compound belongs to Mark Zuckerberg, whose roughly 1,400-acre Ko'olau ranch on Kauai reportedly includes tunnels and a self-sufficient underground shelter with its own power and water. Zuckerberg has waved the label away, telling one interviewer, "No, I think that's just like a little shelter. It's like a basement." Whatever it is called, the Kauai compound is the clearest picture we have of what serious preparedness looks like with essentially no ceiling on the budget, and it makes a useful mirror for the far smaller version most of us are building. These names are only the most visible corner of a much wider pattern. Larry Ellison bought nearly a whole Hawaiian island and set about making it self-sufficient. Other billionaires have assembled compounds across the mountain west and abroad, and the firms that build private shelters report a clientele that has shifted from fringe survivalists to executives and financiers. The particulars differ, but the shape is always the same: enormous resources poured into a private answer to a public risk. New civilization, bought off the rack. The billionaire compounds make more sense once you see them as a shortcut through the ladder every prepper climbs. Most households move up one rung at a time, from getting prepared, https://www.prepper.life/stage/getting-prepared, with a few days of supplies toward being genuinely self-reliant over months and years. The wealthy prepper skips the middle entirely. With unlimited resources, they jump straight to fully prepared, https://www.prepper.life/stage/fully-prepared, aiming past mere survival but at the horizon beyond it. This is a larger plan to be part of a new civilization, https://www.prepper.life/stage/new-civilization, after the threat passes. That ambition is exactly what defines the doomsday prepper, https://www.prepper.life/type/doomsday-prepper, and it is the version of prepping most people picture when they hear the word. Buying that outcome turns out to be far harder than buying the hardware. The author Douglas Rushkoff was once flown out to advise a group of ultra-wealthy men who wanted his read on surviving what they called the event. Their questions were not about food or filtration. As he recounted, https://www.theguardian.com/news/2022/sep/04/super-rich-prepper-bunkers-apocalypse-survival-richest-rushkoff, one asked how he could keep authority over his security force after money became worthless, and whether a combination lock on the food supply might keep the guards in line. A shelter can be finished in a season. Loyalty, trust, and a community worth rebuilding cannot, and that gap is the crack running straight through the middle of the plan. It is the same crack the movies keep pointing at. The bunker only holds if the people inside it hold together, and no amount of money guarantees that. A wealthy prepper can buy the walls, the water, and the wine cellar, but not the one thing that actually carries a group through a long emergency, which is a reason for everyone to keep cooperating once the normal rules are gone. There is an uncomfortable edge to it that the wealthy rarely say out loud. The same fragile, tightly wound systems they are insuring themselves against are often the very ones their own industries helped win so tight. Rushkoff's larger point was that the instinct on display was not to prevent the collapse but to escape it, to build a private lifeboat rather than shore up the ship everyone is riding on. That is worth noticing without turning it into a grievance, because it points at the one real advantage an ordinary prepper holds. A street that knows and helps its neighbors is a kind of resilience no bunker can buy, and it is available to anyone willing to build it. Do they know something we do not? It is tempting to read all of this as a signal, as though the people with the best data have quietly concluded the end is near. The truth is calmer and more relatable than that. The rich are not working from a secret forecast. They are acting on the same worries anyone paying attention already carries: a bad pandemic, a broken grid, an economy that seizes up, and they simply have the means to act on them without limits. Handed a tenth of their net worth, most preppers reading this would break ground on a shelter by the weekend. The impulse is not paranoia. It is preparedness with the brakes off. What the ultra-wealthy actually reveal is less a prophecy than a confession of nerves. Musk is unsettled by the technology he himself helps build. Gates lies awake over a virus. Altman keeps gas masks and a plane fueled. None of that is hidden knowledge. It is the public worry of people who can afford to hedge every bet at once. Read that way, the billionaire bunker is not a warning to fear so much as a permission slip. If the sharpest and best informed people in the room think a reserve and a fallback are worth having, the instinct behind your own pantry was sound all along, and the only real question left is how far you want to take it. Prepping like a millionaire on a normal budget. The bunkers and the private islands are built for the far end of the scale, the post-collapse scenario where society does not come back for years. That is not the disaster most families will ever meet. A power outage that lasts a week, a hurricane that closes the roads, a job loss that stretches into months, a stretch of empty shelves, these are the events that actually visit ordinary homes. The preparedness plans are the same for a normal household as they are for the wealthy, just on a different scale. Begin where every stockpile begins, with water and shelf-stable food. Non-perishable, nutrient-dense staples such as rice, beans, and canned goods keep for years and cost little, bought a few extra items at a time, and buying that way spreads the expense so gently you barely feel it. Round the pantry out with the things a crisis makes precious and stores forget to sell: a manual can opener, first aid supplies, any prescriptions your household depends on, and a little cash set aside for the days the card readers are down. A deep pantry is what lets you ride out a food shortage or a water shortage without joining the rush to strip the store, and making room for those supplies is usually easier than people expect. Add independent power next, because the disasters most likely to reach your home tend to start by cutting the lights. You do not need Zuckerberg's private grid to get through an extended power outage, only enough backup power to keep the essentials running and the food cold. Then build the skills the wealthy pay staff to provide. Learning to purify water, catch a meal, or improvise a shelter costs mostly time, and unlike a stockpile, it can never be looted or run down. A short, well-chosen kit that lives by the door, a flashlight, a radio, a multi-tool, copies of your key documents, and spare water, means that if you ever have to move fast, you're grabbing instead of scrambling. Your circumstances set the ceiling, and that ceiling is more of an asset than it looks. An urban prepper working with a single closet cannot store a year of food, but a closet stocked deep still carries a household through nearly every emergency that is actually likely. A suburban family with a spare room and a yard has room to go further, toward a garden and a longer reserve. If your home ever becomes unsafe to stay in, the billionaire move is simply to leave early to somewhere already prepared, and the affordable version is the same: a ready bag and a plan to bug out to a friend's place, a campground, or wherever you have chosen in advance. Room changes the plan more than money does. A rural household or a homesteader with land is limited less by closet space than by distance, the drive to the nearest store and the time any help would take to arrive, so the answer there leans toward producing rather than only storing. A garden that returns calories season after season, a few laying hens where the rules allow, and rainwater capture turn a long emergency into an ordinary stretch of self-reliance. Even a modest yard grows more than most people expect, and a larger family that feels like more mouths to feed is also more hands to tend the beds. Wherever you land on that range, you are building the same defenses the billionaires are, just more targeted to what your family needs for more common disruptions. Focus your preparedness efforts on SHTF scenarios you are more likely to face rather than the apocalypse. Do you really want to live through that anyway? Just asking? Wealthy preppers spend fortunes because they can, but the plan under the price tag is the same one available to everyone. They stockpile supplies, secure water and power, keep an exit ready, and build the skills to hold it together, only with private jets and underground tunnels bolted on. Strip those away and what remains is an ordinary, affordable preparedness plan that answers real emergencies: a bad storm, a long outage, a lean stretch, far better than it answers the apocalypse. You are on the same ladder the billionaires are climbing. The difference is only how far up you choose to go, and you can start the climb this weekend with a few extra cans and a full water jug.